The servant got up early that day. It's part of his responsibilities to fetch water from the well across town. He knew it would take a while to get there, take even longer to get back. So he grabbed his bucket and set out. As he walked, he saw a commotion coming from up ahead. There was a crowd of people gathering near the town gate. They were looking through the gaps in it. He was curious, so he walked to the gate. He shouldered his way to the front of the line. He looked through the gaps. He caught his breath. An army had surrounded the city. Servant dropped his bucket. He ran back. He found his master, and he broke the news to him. He frantically started to panic, wondering how in all the world that they were going to survive a siege. But his master, he just smiled, thinking that he had misheard, or maybe he was still a little sleepy. The servant said again, "Master, look outside. The city is surrounded. The enemy snuck up on us during the night. We're doomed. Look and see for yourself." In the days of prophets and kings, the nation of Israel was often the target of some foreign power. This time around, it was the nation of Aram. After the Aramean king had discussed a plan of attack with his advisors, he said, "I will set up my camp in such and such a place." They wanted to gain the upper hand over Israel strategically and apparently had found the perfect spot. They had found out where the Israelite army was going to be, where they were planning to set up their own camp. They were the Arameans. They were planning an ambush, one that very likely could have been devastating to Israel, its army, its king, the nation as a whole. But Israel had an informant. Now, it wasn't somebody who was spying on the Arameans or who had intercepted their confidential military intelligence scrolls, but it was somebody with a far more reliable source. The man was Elisha, and his source was God. And so the man of God sent word to the king of Israel, "Beware of passing that place because the Arameans are going out there. They're going down there." Now, Elisha was a prophet. He was God's mouthpiece to the people of Israel. And he was charged with proclaiming the word of God to a people who so often did not want to listen to him. But God blessed Elisha's ministry in a number of ways, ways that made the people say, "Well, this guy, Elisha, He's legitimate. We should listen to what he has to say. He knows what he's talking about. We should listen to him." And in this account, they do. The king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. And not just once, but many times, time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. Time and again, Elisha warned the king. He told the king, "Look and see, the enemy is waiting for you." Without Elisha's warning, without God's intervention through his prophet, the Israelites might never have known about the certain dangers looming on the horizon. Now, like the Israelites, you and I, sometimes we don't know what kind of dangers are looming on the horizons in our lives. We don't always know what kind of dangers or mishaps or tragedies are coming our way. I mean, nobody could have guessed that the relationship would fade so quickly, that person you'd felt so close to would suddenly just walk out of your life. Nobody could have guessed that the cancer would have spread so far, so wide, so fast, that it'd be untreatable by the time it was even detected. Nobody could have anticipated that driving down that road on that night at that time would have resulted in a devastating car crash because a drunk driver decided to take the same road. Sometimes we just don't know what's coming our way. And the devil and his evil angels, they're quick to point out any of these problems and say, look, see, it's God's fault, isn't it? Can't you see it? If he's so in control, and if he's so good, why would he let all these problems come into life? Why would he let these dangers on the horizon suddenly surround you? Even if we feel alone, having no idea of the dangers on the horizons, the fact is, brothers and sisters, God does. God knows what's coming, and he always has an answer. For the Israelites, it was his prophet Elisha. Elisha warned them, and the Aramean ambush was thwarted repeatedly, time and time again. Now, as you would expect, this upset the Aramean king, so much so that he accused one of his own advisors of treason. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, tell me, which of us is on the side of the king of Israel? Which of you has been slipping our secrets to him? They responded that it wasn't them, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom. The king had his answer. Elisha, this prophet, was the one responsible for his failed plans. So immediately he jumped into action. Go, find out where he is, the king ordered, so I can send men and capture him. The report came back. He is in Dothan. Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. The Arameans acted fast with surprising force. I mean, think about it. The king was after one man, but he sent an entire army. Horses and chariots? This one man, he's not going to outrun those. A strong force? Probably a good amount of foot soldiers. Well, this one man, he's not going to slip through the cracks with those guys combing the streets. An army large enough to surround the city? No chance of this one man sneaking out the back. It seemed Aram would have its man. It's hard to put yourself in those shoes of Elisha, or even his servant, but how would you react? How would you react in the face of such really dire circumstances? Would you be scared? Would you start to worry? Would you be frantic? The writer clues us in on one person's reaction to this army suddenly showing up and surrounding the city. It's Elisha's servant. Listen to what he did. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh no, my lord, what shall we do? The appearance of the Aramean army was sudden, surprising, and scary. The servant had every reason to panic, right? I mean, think about it. And I know it's hard to really imagine yourself in that scenario. But if you were to suddenly realize that your way of life is being threatened, would you find yourself panicking? No matter what it is. When you feel down, or when you feel scared, or when you feel the danger at your doorstep, how do you respond? With worry? With panic? Do you look up to heaven and say, look, God, do you see what's going on in my life? What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? And how does God respond? Think about that as you listen to what God had to say to this servant who was panicking and worrying. Think about what God had to say to him as God spoke through his prophet. Don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. You know, as you're reading this account up until this point, anybody would conclude that Elisha and his servant and the whole city, they were in some serious danger. But then out of nowhere, it seems, Elisha's not in any danger at all. It's as if Elisha wanted, or it's almost as if Elisha wanted to stop and say, stop. Listen. Look and see what God can do. You can almost hear the servant's response. What? Elisha, it's just you and me here. I don't know if you've noticed, but there's an army surrounding the city. Now I can imagine Elisha waited a moment. He looked directly at his servant and then just smiled. Because then he prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. And God responded to this prayer by opening the eyes of the servant who looked around and saw what he couldn't before. An angelic army made up of horses and chariots of fire filling the entire hillside, surrounding and protecting the city, outnumbering and easily capable of overpowering the enemy army. They had always been there. He just couldn't see it. Utterly amazed, totally astonished, filled with awe. That's how I imagine the servant reacted, because if I'm honest, that's how I would react. I mean, at that moment, the servant realized that God had been protecting them the entire time. He just hadn't known it until the man of God said, look and see. The fact is, God protects his people. He protects his people even in a number of ways, even if we can't always see it. Oftentimes, he uses his angels, his army of angelic host, his messengers, his army of chariots and horses of fire. In 2 Kings, it was that army of horses and chariots of fire. And initially, the servant couldn't see them. And now we still can't see angels. We still can't see how often they're involved in our lives, but they're there. We know this because, well, God has promised it, and God always keeps his promises. Psalm 91, we just sang it. It tells us, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. In Matthew 18, Jesus describes how angels protect believers who would try to lead them astray. He says, see that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. Even if it feels like that cancer has you surrounded, or if it looks like that broken relationship has you singled out, or if it looks like the dangers of this world are closing in. And brothers and sisters, follow Elisha's example and pray. Pray that God would open your eyes to see in faith. That you are not alone. That you have God's powerful protection. And we know that. Because God promises it, even now. The proof of this present promise, it's in the past. 2 Kings. God allowed Elisha's servant to physically see the angelic allies as proof, not only for him, but also for us, so that we would know that we're not alone, no matter what enemy is on the horizon or at the city gates. But even more than that, the greatest proof of God's present promise to protect us and to be there for us is simply the fact that our greatest ally came to our aid. Our greatest ally, who is more than capable of overpowering our greatest enemy, that dragon that was cast down from heaven, who lurks around and who's angry because he knows that his time is short. Our greatest ally, more than capable of overpowering him. And he did it in a way that looked like apparent defeat, by dying a death on a cross. There at that moment, Satan laughed. He thought he'd won. No. Jesus' victory on the cross, proven by his resurrection from the grave, that is God's past proof of the present promise. He's not leaving us alone. He's not leaving us unprotected. We're not by ourselves in this fight against sin and its darkness in our lives or in the world out there. And Jesus himself said, I will be with you always, to the very end of the age. Brothers and sisters, when it feels like you're being surrounded, when it feels like the dangers are closing in, when it feels like God just doesn't care or that he's abandoned you, remember the proof that God showed to Elisha's servant. The proof that Elisha knew to be true in faith. Think about what that servant learned. Just because we don't always see God's care doesn't mean it isn't there. With confidence, know that God does care. With confidence, know that God is with you always. With confidence, know that God protects his people. God grant it. Amen.